Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
And welcome to another episode of Chatty Broads with Becca and Jess.
Well, hey there, broads.
Hello.
How are you all doing today?
Can we just tell the story that you just told? Because this is literally all that I can get out
okay.
of my head.
Okay. We gotta include our guest in on this quick.
Okay. We have a wonderful guest.
One of the funniest, you know, I gotta tell you, it is Matt Belisai, everyone. Welcome, welcome.
Hi.
I have to tell you, Matt, we were on Matt's podcast, Unhappy Hour, a few months ago now, I guess. And I have now gone down the rabbit trail of, Matt, all of your old To Be Honest videos that I loved a few years mm-hmm. ago. And then I recently just went down this full thing. And I just want to thank you for the entertainment, because it has brought me so much joy in
it's
all of your...
It's really just like mental illness that has just been slowly unfolding over the course of the last 10 years, but I'm glad.
It has been, broads, if you have not checked out, so Matt has an amazing podcast, but also you probably have seen Matt. He got quite famous via like BuzzFeed and YouTube, mm-hmm. where Matt would drink and then complain about everything under the sun. And it just, Becca and I were talking about it the other day. We're like, the complaints just, it brings you together. It really does. It really does bond.
It truly is nothing like a group of people out together. Nothing is going to unite everybody better than picking something to absolutely destroy.
What do you guys think about, like, I feel like I hear people a lot being like, oh, you know, that's like ultimately like toxic energy or like whatever. What do you think about that? I want to hear your opinion, Matt.
I just saw a tweet that was someone being like, some people, like, I just, like, don't vibe with their, like, mental energy and, like, general spirit. And someone else was like,
that's
just called disliking someone.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, maybe
normalize,
it is toxic.
Normalize disliking people, right?
I mean,
yeah, sometimes we just don't like stuff.
That's the thing. Honestly, at the end of the day, like, talk about toxic negativity. What about that toxic positivity bullshit?
I think people argue that you can dislike things, but like, why do you need to dwell on it and talk about it? I think that that's the argument, you know, like, I mean, right. I know why I need to, because it brings me joy. It brings me life. It brings me together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. I will say, I mean, I have like rules, unspoken,
what are your rules?
Unwritten rules.
Tell
but because like sometimes people will come up to me and like launch into a rant where I'm like, OK, we need to take this down a notch. We're at a 10 right now. We need to be at like a 4.
Yeah,
because it's like, A, don't be an asshole to anybody. That is like the number one rule. Just don't be a dick. Like, don't rain on anybody's parade. Like, sometimes people's like complaining gets into a little bit of like, you're kind of just like destroying this person's life.
Yes.
So be careful. Be nice. Don't be an asshole. That's really the only rule.
I feel like, and there is such a big difference between the friend that you have who complains all the time but there's no joy in the complaining.
Yes. Yeah, that is versus, be a Debbie Downer.
Yeah, the Debbie Downer, the constant Eeyore, who it's like there's always a problem with something, and you're like, that is not the energy that I want in my life. No. But I love, you know, when, I don't know, it's personally, it's like when there's a situation that sucks or is annoying, I'd rather have someone talk about how they're annoyed in a fun, joking manner,
right,
that we can go back and forth about, you know, than either be like a downer about it or just be like, it's all good, like everything's happy and we're fine. I'm like, but I don't like these things.
right yeah, no, you got to get it out, or it'll pent up inside of you and it'll come out whether you want it or not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, I have to pivot back to I first brought up, because We just talked about this before we started recording. Jess told me inside the house before we came out to the studio. Then we told Matt. And I just have to tell it to our listeners because this shit is bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Yes.
Jess, can you just tell? Now, both of you don't like the dentist. So there's a common thread.
Matt and I discovered this connection that we have, that we avoid the dentist.
My skull is absolutely rotting from the inside out. The dentist was the one place I had to go to at like the height of the pandemic last year, where I was like, my mouth is throbbing. I need to get to a dentist. I don't want someone else's, like a stranger's fingers in my mouth this year of all years. But I went and they were like, you basically have a cavity in every tooth.
So. Yes. Exactly what happened to me, Matt. And that's unfortunately when I get to the dentist is when the pain becomes too unbearable. Like that's when I get there.
And
like,
then it's really a miserable experience.
Right. But like when it starts to hurt at first, I'm like, I can deal with this. Like, and I'll call the dentist, cut to like 3 months later, and I'm like, well, it's falling out of my head at this point.
My dentist also like roasted me, or I was like, okay, can you just like knock me out and take them, like deal with it all at once? And he was like, are you joking? And I was like no. That's like fully what I want you to do. And he was like, it's always the biggest guys who have like the weakest attitudes about like pulling teeth. And I was like, okay, you're dick. Like,
excuse me.
I didn't come here to get like red. It's very upsetting.
I always feel so much shame because I feel like the dentist judges me every time I'm like, I want laughing gas. And by the way, Broad, so sorry, there's a little bit of yard work going on right outside of the door that will be gone. I don't know if anyone can hear it. That will be gone in like 5 minutes. My dentist always is just like, when I say I'd like nitrous, he's just shading me for the fact that like I would like to not feel pain nor be aware. And I'm like, is this an unusual thing? Do you not often have people coming in here being like, I would like to not experience pain if at all possible?
Yeah, I was like, I want to be fully unconscious if you are extracting a bone from my mouth. Yeah. That is not like coming. It's not halfway out. It's in there. It's deeply. There are roots that you are pulling out. I don't want to be aware.
I was awake when I had teeth extracted, and I watched his knuckles be white from the pressure of trying to pull it out.
That is nauseating.
Yeah, okay. So upsetting. Okay. Guys. First
However,
of all,
being put out could have some bad, side effects.
Okay, have some backlash.
You tell the story, and then I'm going to read the actual story.
All right, Broad's interrupting this amazing tangential complaint fest with Matt. Listen, it's a reality of life that the busier and more stressed out that we get, the less we prioritize our sex life, because it seems that every freaking thing can disrupt it. Stress at work, hormonal changes, not enough sleep. It can become really difficult to keep things going in the bedroom, which really sucks if you're wanting that in your life. But you know what, Broads? First off, it's okay, and it's completely normal. And second, if you're wanting more sexy time in your life, Omax wants to help with their CBD-infused arousal oil. O-Shot, you are just minutes away from pleasure.
You guys already know I'm obsessed with Omax O-Shot. It's made with a blend of 8 all-natural organic botanicals plus broad-spectrum CBD. And all you have to do is apply a few pumps. You're going to instantly experience tingling and warming sensations, but not burning. You're going to get enhanced lubrication, which I think everyone could use, increased sensitivity. I've said it before and I'll say it again. It's my absolute favorite. It's a constant in my bedroom. I always make sure I have a bottle on hand.
And the best part, because it's 100% natural, it's 100% edible. So do with that information what you will. I use O-Shot when I need just a little boost and I love it. Seriously, I've got all my friends using it too. It works instantly and takes the stress out of the bedroom because come on, the sexy times, they should be fun. We love O-Shot.
Whether you're single or looking to spice up your relationship with more satisfying sex, everyone can benefit from a more enjoyable sex life. And O-Shot comes to the rescue and provides heightened sexual sensations, which can give you the instant and long-lasting satisfaction you've been looking for. And it's 100% edible and natural. Remember, go to oshotcbd.com today. Enter code CHATTY. Take advantage of this incredible savings opportunity. That's OSHOTCBD.com and enter code CHATTY to get 20% off O-Shot site-wide.
Friends, this last week was a huge week in my house because my little baby, who just yesterday was learning how to walk, I mean, basically, feels like that, started kindergarten. I was way more emotional than I expected, and she was just as excited as I knew she would be. She did amazing. We're a week in, but every single day when she comes home, she cannot wait to tell me about the new friends she made and the things she's learned. So of course, we're all about fostering that curiosity at home with the help of our favorite teaching partner, KiwiCo.
Okay, seriously, if you have kids of your own, if you look after kids, or if you yourself are a curious learner, or if you're looking for a creative gift for someone with kids, KiwiCo is for you. Each month, they deliver a curated crate of hands-on science, art, and geography projects. They're tailored for little learners' specific age groups, so it helps them understand new subjects, and the projects are perfect for whatever age group they're in. So I'm telling you, this is the greatest gift for parents. KiwiCo handles it all. Every single thing you need is included in the crate, including super easy to follow instructions, which means you spend more time playing and learning together and less time trying to figure things out.
When Ember's KiwiCo crate comes in the mail, it is like Christmas morning around our house. She's learned everything with KiwiCo, from how weather patterns work to how to build her own skyscraper. The projects are seriously so cool. Even as an adult, I have so much fun helping with them, and I actually even learn some stuff along the way. But one of my most favorite things is KiwiCo crafts these crates around making sure the kids are able to do it themselves. So Ember just gains so much confidence and independence from learning through her KiwiCo.
KiwiCo is redefining learning with hands-on projects that build confidence, creativity, and critical thinking skills. And there's something for every kid or kid at heart at KiwiCo. Get your first month free on select crates at kiwico.com/chatty. That's kiwico.com/chatty.
Oh, wait, did you look up the actual story?
Yes, okay.
Okay. So maybe what I'm about to say is lore. Maybe it is lore.
No, I mean, it's not. But okay. There's just tell the story.
Okay. So what I've heard in my community was that there was locally a woman who broke into a dentist's office. Uh-huh. And she somehow locked herself in one of the rooms where there was a patient who was unconscious or out, going to either get like a root canal or a tooth extraction. She barricaded and locked herself in. And while she was in there, she decided to go on a spree and yank out tons of this man's teeth.
Okay. Okay. Now, it's so actually not that far from what actually happened. So okay. Here's what actually happened, but it kind of makes more sense, but has less sense at the same time.
Okay.
First of all, it was in Nevada. So you don't have any, no need to worry.
It was in Nevada?
Yeah, it was in Nevada. The story came out this week.
How did this, oh, it came out this week?
Or the story came out like a few weeks ago.
Okay, I was going to say.
It happened in May.
Okay. I don't know that I heard about 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
And it was from a neighbor and was like, this locally happened. And I would, and then I'm like, great, I am only booking dentist appointments in Orange County for the rest of my life.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this happened in May. The story broke about a week ago, or at least it was posted on this website about a week ago. Okay. Now, this woman broke into a dental office she used to work at, but she is not a dentist. So she used to work at,
She is involved with teeth somehow.
Oh, maybe not even. She might have been a receptionist. It says she's not a dentist, but she broke into the dental office where she used to work, stole $22,000 in cash. Who knew the dentist offices were strapped like that?
Oh my God.
Just had
the
cash.
Dentist office has stacks of money in the back.
They just have loads of cash.
So she also extracted 13 teeth of an unwilling patient by using anesthetic her former employer had discarded.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, that's worse.
And apparently, she, okay, blah, 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 blah.
13, okay, I told you 14, so I wasn't.
Charged with, no, you were not far off. Arrested on Wednesday and charged with 2 counts of burglary and 1 count each of grand larceny, conspiracy to commit burglary, and performing surgery on another without a medical license.
Yeah.
The woman had.
That one should be first.
Yeah, this, that one should be the number one. Get this, guys. Not the cash.
She's a repeat offender. The woman had allegedly performed illegal tooth extractions before the break-in on a different date, according to the release. It is not known what she did with the teeth or why she pulled them out.
Wait, I mean, prison is about to get a great dentist.
I mean, can you believe?
Okay, so this is like a thing for this person that she enjoys extracting people's teeth.
Apparently she, and she also posed as a dentist. So like, I guess walked in and was like, yep, I'm your new dentist.
That is sick.
Let's go.
That is a nightmare.
That is, it is, there is nothing more nightmarish that I've ever heard in my entire life than being stuck at a dentist's office and having someone extract 13 of your teeth. Like, that's almost,
how wild.
How many teeth do you have?
Like 26?
Okay. Yeah, like 50.
So
I have
maybe
no
she
idea.
Just pulled up the whole top
120.
Row.
120. Like half of your teeth are gone.
Yeah, that
and
is
maybe
sick.
She just literally did the top row.
My
32
mom,
adult teeth,
I think,
by the way,
got a sick thrill out of like pulling our baby teeth. I don't know if this was just like a my family thing or if everybody's family had this.
My mom was like that.
Yeah, where we would have like, it would be kind of loose and she was like, let me just rip it out. And
yes!
I was like, what is wrong with you? There was one time, I'm not even making this up, there's no exaggeration, where it was like a little too in there, but it was like, it kind of hurt. And she was like, go get a wrench or pliers. Pliers are the ones. I don't know, tools. And she...
that is so my mom.
It was literally a like rusty wrench that we just kind of wrapped a Kleenex around. And then she stuck in my mouth and ripped my tooth out. Insane.
Did you guys try to do the... Did your siblings or parents try to get you to do the door slam method?
No, that to me was always like... I would have loved that, but no, I got the rusty wrench instead.
First of all, I mean, that's just got to, I mean, that's ridiculous. How are you even supposed to tie a string around
that
a baby?
That is some MacGyver. That is like MacGyver
like
bullshit.
A little mouse to tie this little string. There's no way.
Yeah, these tiny baby teeth.
My mom was the same way though. She'd be like, just let me pull it. Let me pull it. And I got to tell you, like when I was a nanny and my nanny kids would have loose teeth, I was like,
oh, you
and
want.
And especially because you know what it is? It's like, it's. Now yours sounds like it was a little stuck in there. With my nanny kids, they would have it where it would be like dangling, you know, basically, and they'd be moving it around with their tongue. They're moving it around with their tongue, and it's just kind of like hanging around. And I'm like, let me pull that shit out right now, please.
I am so grateful for someone like you, like a nanny who would be willing to do that. Because when my daughter has had her, she's had 2 loose teeth. It makes me like. Almost pass out just watching her wiggle it.
Oh yeah.
And so she's sitting there wiggling it the whole time and I'm like I'm just like, look away. Like, I can't engage with her. And so she's like, Mom, like, I want to pull my tooth out. And I'm just like, I can't help you in that department, kid. And she pulled both of her teeth out with her teacher at school. And I'm like, bless you.
Thank you.
Because even just looking at the hole, I get lightheaded. I got to put my feet up.
I mean,
like, I just can't do it.
It's kind of crazy, like, the concept, right? Of like, all of a sudden your tooth is just falling out and then you got to pull it out, every single one of your baby teeth.
Ugh. Yeah. I can't think about, like, what is happening inside of a child's skull for too long. I
have
need
you
to, like,
disassociate. Yeah. Have you seen the x-rays?
Yeah, it's a monster. That it's you. An actual monster.
You, have you seen the, you haven't seen the x-rays of baby teeth with the adult teeth?
Because, no. Like, yeah, the adult teeth are still in there, but they haven't, like, come down yet. So there's just like two layers of
Bro,
teeth.
It's
we are.
You're about to lose your. You're gonna lose your goddamn mind when you see this.
That is. Yeah.
You ready to see some gnarly shit, guys? As you're listening to this, unless you're driving, please Google child skull X-ray.
Yeah. Just picture. I mean,
this is what they're like.
It almost looks like two X-rays layered on top of one another, but that is what's happening in a child's skull.
What I just saw is like, what is that when you have the fear of holes?
Yeah. What is that? It is like that. It is like that. Trip. Yeah.
It is like that, but it is 10 times worse.
It like looks like something hanging on the wall in Saw.
Yeah, it is horrifying. I will never allow Ember near me again with her loose teeth.
Look at all of them up in there. Like.
Dude, it's so gross.
It's disgusting.
It's so disgusting. Yeah. Anywho, so that's what I thought was happening near my home. But apparently
just closing in on you.
Just getting more and more real for me. But apparently, sorry, broads.
The real horror
in Nevada.
Is in your home.
Yeah. Exactly. Ember's mouth. But I'm sorry, Nevada broads, to let you know that maybe next time you go to the dentist, just something to think about before you go under.
Have you guys ever seen people who have an extra set of teeth? Like, mm-hmm. Some people have like extra teeth that come up behind their like front teeth.
I had that.
Ew.
Oh, wait. I had that behind. It's behind.
Yeah, it comes up behind them, right?
Yeah, like my grown-up teeth came in behind.
Oh, so you didn't have extra teeth.
They
weren't pushing out your baby teeth.
Yeah, so I had to get my front four teeth extracted because the four were coming in. When I was like
behind
in like
oh my god
first grade
yeah,
and I looked
yeah.
like and I looked like a shark because I had like two layers.
That's crazy.
That did wonders for my self-confidence.
We had a dog that had like shark teeth like that because she was like a mutant. I mean, it was definitely like a factory produced dog. This was before we knew about rescue dogs.
Yes, this was like, these were like more of the puppy mill type days. None of us
knew.
Yeah,
absolutely. This was like 20 years ago. It was a puppy mill dog. And so she had been like, you know, inbred for generations.
Oh,
and
my God.
It had literal, that dog was so fucked up, but it had... It was a Yorkie, so it was like a tiny little dog, and it had two rows of teeth.
I mean,
that's horrifying.
And they all fell out eventually. Both
don't
rows.
Dogs. Oh,
oh no,
don't dogs have baby teeth?
They do. Yeah.
Yeah, but these were like, it was like a full two row sets. Like shark situation.
Yeah, it was the double rows.
My son, which you've probably already seen this, but Matt, my son has two front teeth. They're baby teeth, of course. Two teeth that are fused. So he has like a super tooth. It's two of his little, it's a double wide tooth, baby tooth. And it started coming in. I was like, I thought it was two teeth coming in at once. And no, it's two of his front teeth that are fused.
So he's just a cartoon character.
Yeah, he's just a, like when they have like the one front tooth.
It's unfortunately not the middle ones. I
feel
wish.
Bad for laughing.
Isn't
but at
that...
least it's the baby teeth. It'll fall out.
Yeah. Yes, but I am saving that shit and probably I'm going to wear it around my neck. I mean, that is crazy.
Yeah, that is pretty wild. I wonder what it's that means. Cool. I bet like there's like some like mystical meaning that
oh,
you could find.
Oh, yeah. Like this.
Right.
That means
like
you're like a shaman.
3,000 years
or
ago, he would be a god. They would have been like, here he is, the Messiah.
Yeah, in medieval times, he would have immediately been a prince. So you better save that tooth.
That's like people who say, you know, when your second toe is bigger than your big toe or longer, people are like, well, actually in Roman times, that's a sign of royalty or whatever. You're like, shut the fuck up, freak.
That's what I always used to say it because I have that. I have the long second toe and I'd always be like, they're goddess feet. And people were just like, no, they look like fingers. That's basically
yeah, like
it.
Maybe if we were in Roman time, sure. But no, now you're just a freak. Sorry.
Also, who from Rome told you that? Like, that's bullshit.
Yeah. All the Romans are like, we don't appreciate this because no. We like a nice row.
I remember that there was that prank in like elementary school where someone said like, if your hand is bigger than your face, cancer.
I didn't know that.
If your hand's as big as your face, then you're more like, it's possible that you could get cancer.
I had just never heard that before. Oh my gosh,
is your hand as big as your face? That's the prank.
Oh. Right. And then someone slaps you in the face.
I was like, what the fuck?
But I remember I had never heard of that. And I saw someone do that. And I was like, oh, my God. But like so genuinely. Like, this is the diagnosis.
You're like, I saw really the whole concerned. Prank happen and everything. And you're just like, yeah.
Oh, my God.
You do it to yourself immediately after.
Yeah.
I was just genuinely so thrown off.
Sam, I'm glad that you kind of went through the same thing that I did. Granted, I was a child. I was in like second grade, but
the funny thing is too, Jess, is that you didn't automatically, I had to be like, put your hand up to your face in order to do it. You were just like, oh my God.
Yeah, I was just doing this. I was like comparing in the Zoom call. Knew. I was like, I think so.
You have kind of small hands.
Me?
And I guess we have the same size.
Yeah.
No, not you.
Oh, I thought you were telling through the screen. You're like, I do have giant hands.
Oh, do you? You do have giant hands, huh?
Well, I'm 6'3", which legally you have to tell people when you're over 6 feet. You have to announce it on every podcast.
And dating apps.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's definitely in my bio. Which, I mean, gays, I feel like all of our bios are just like stats. It's not even... It just reads like a football lineup. It's just like, yeah, here's, you got height, inches, weight.
Wait, do you really have your height in all your dating app bios?
I try to include it in like a fun way that makes it not obvious that I'm just like, here's my height. I have some joke about like, don't recline in front of me on an airplane or something. Cause like that, there's...
Yes.
It's like 6'3", so anti-reclining in front of me on an airplane.
Got it.
I did.
So I'm like, okay, I'm going to give you the brag, but I'll be humble and funny about it.
Yeah. Yes. You're like, I'm going to let you know that you can climb this tree without.
But mostly it's just like, you gotta weed out. I'm heightist.
You are?
Okay. And what? Like he's got to be tall.
I'm anti-heightist.
I'm so actively. Sorry to come and spread my filth on your show.
Disseminate your hate.
Yes.
I feel like it's obviously like some internalized. It probably happened on this very same playground. But I just like there's something about, I think, being gay where I'm like, it looks weird if a gay couple is like wildly disparate in their heights, like in a way that like for a straight couple, I don't mind it. This is obviously just me.
You know,
this is a hostile audience for this take. But
you don't see mismatched heights much in gay male couples, do you?
Yeah, it just feels like, I mean, there is like, boyfriend twin syndrome in the gay community.
Okay, where you're dating yourself,
right? Mm-hmm. This happens quite frequently, and it is.
I mean,
horrifying to see. But I don't know.
It.
Maybe there is something there about like I want to be at least, you know. I think my minimum on some of the apps where you can like set the height requirement. It's like 5'10" maybe.
I mean, that feels. Listen, you are a tall man.
That's like minus 5 inches. Yeah,
you can set a height requirement.
On Hinge is one of the ones where you can set a height requirement.
That is crazy to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you are very like, you've dated all over.
Well,
heights.
It's crazy. Oh yes, I've literally dated someone who's 6'4" and someone who's 5'1".
And you're 5'5"?
5'4.5".
Okay.
I did go on a date with someone who was a full foot shorter. He was like 5'4". And I knew he didn't list his height, but I could just tell from the
short
profile.
Energy.
Like, he had a photo with Hillary Clinton, and I was like looking up Hillary Clinton's height before the date. I was like, I need to compare. And they were like on the same level. So I was like, okay, he's short.
And you're trying to be like, she's just wearing super high heels. She's got a big platform on today.
Okay, yeah, now I might be taking things. No, I am taking things too far for sure. But to be able to sort by height, I'm like, that is discrimination against something that someone can't help at all. I can't believe they allow that on some dating
apps.
But
you can't help your age either.
That's true, but
I know it's different.
I'm going to agree with that argument just for the sake of it.
I know it's different.
That's no, like, I think Hinge. Yes. I have never. That's the only one where I really like. Yeah, you can set like a height, the height range. You can
How
set
dare
an
you
age
discriminate
range.
Against dating 85-year-olds or 18-year-olds? Right? How
but
dare
I
you?
But I think. Hinge also, you might also be able to like set like what religion. It does have all of those categories.
Interesting.
And I think if you're really going, I mean, I don't go that far.
I mean, okay here's not, the thing though too.
I'm not building the perfect person.
But here's the thing too, there's plenty of fish in the sea. So if you do have ways to narrow it down and just be like, well, I would preferably date someone who is also Christian and my same height. I mean, why not narrow it down, I guess,
right.
You know?
I don't know why now I'm like defending Hinge, but they do have, now that I'm thinking about it, they have
Are
it
you
where you
paid
can
for this? Don't lie. You have some sort of deal with them?
Let's pull it up right now. They do have a thing where you can set the range and then you can say whether it's a deal breaker or not. So if you say it's a deal breaker, they like won't show outside of the range. But if you don't say it's a deal breaker, they'll show you in your range first. But then if you like run out, they'll start showing you.
Sure.
So like, okay. So I mean, you played yourself. Here's what you're going to get instead.
It makes sense to me. If I very much have a type, like, and my type is a tall guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to date a tall guy, so I want to be able to say I'd like him to be tall.
I think if you can also sort by like all those other things, then it feels fair to me. It's like, okay, then if you can sort by anything. But also it's like, now we're getting to a whole other thing. But imagine how fucked up it would be if you could sort by weight.
Yeah.
See?
That's true.
So it's like, to me, it's like, what's the difference, you know?
That's very true.
Which gays do basically anyway. That's why half the time people list their weight in their bio.
That
actually,
is so crazy.
People's bios on like Tinder. I think this is more on Tinder because that's more like casual. But that it, literally a bio will be like 6'3", 200 pounds. That's it.
Wow.
Leo.
Oh my God. If they made you put your weight in, I would just be like, I'm having my own answer. I'd be like, it fluctuates, you stupid bitch.
You have like a 50 pound range.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know. It just depends on the week.
Now look though, I mean, if you, I think it's like, if it depends what you're looking for. If you're looking for someone to fuck, then it like sort of does make sense that you would narrow it down to literally your physical preferences. The reason right. that I'm like, hold up, you guys, is because if you are looking for a relationship with someone, I'm like, ugh, why narrow down your options? Like you could have the most, who knows, Matt, you could have the most sexually, mentally, emotionally compatible person in the world who's 5'6", you know, who knows?
Yeah, that is something I've had to do a deep think about lately, because I do follow some like gays on Twitter and Instagram who are like, you know, opposite height couples.
You're deprogramming.
Inter-height.
And they found one another. They're, you know,
and they're
happy.
They're making it work.
They're making
honestly,
it work.
And it's inspiring. Yeah. Now, I will say, Matt, to your point, which is why I don't like dating much taller men, is because there is something to be said about sexual compatibility just with literally just physics and like geometrics mm-hmm. of having a physical encounter with someone who's a right. foot shorter than you.
It's true.
Right, right.
You know, like that just to me, it doesn't
That's quite true. Line up. It doesn't quite line up.
Yeah.
But listen, everybody's a different height on their knees.
The more you know.
Wow, dropping truth bombs.
That's actually all the time I have. So,
okay, can I talk about something else that I don't like that I actually was just listening to a podcast on the way here and I had to actually fast forward through this conversation. I want to hear your opinions on it, Matt. Jess, I'm pretty sure you're on the same page as me. They were talking about poop and like their own poop and like describing it. And and it was like, it's a comedy podcast, you know, and I had to skip forward like 2 minutes until they stopped talking about it because I was actually like getting so nauseous and disgusted at them like describing in comedic ways like their bathroom habits going poop. And I just want to throw it out there that I hate it. I remember the first time I watched Nacho Libre and with all like the poop and fart, like I just was like disgusted.
I love that that was the example of
that's
movie.
The one that's like she's been traumatized.
I was just like Libre. This is so gross, like so yeah. And you feel the same way, don't you?
I feel the exact same way. I still, when I use the bathroom, I've been with my partner for like 14 years at this point. We have never pooped in front of each other. When
I don't
we
like
pee,
that.
I close the door.
Mm, pee and I don't close the door, but poop, yeah, no.
I like, we don't talk about it. It's just not, it was never talked about in my house too. I think that's probably part of it. Mm.
I definitely grew up with a family that was very open about, you know, bodily functions.
Yes.
But yeah, I am kind of the same. Like, yeah, I don't, that is a sacred secret, you know, undertaking.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've become more that way where I'm
Look
like,
at our faces,
I don't want to hear it.
Just like
I don't want to talk about it. I had, when I first started doing stand-up, which I think is probably true for a lot of comics, is like, you know, when you're new and fresh, like you kind of go for the lowest hanging fruit. And uh-huh. I did have poop jokes. And very quickly I was like, I have to stop. This can't go on.
I must be stopped.
I'm better than this.
Yeah. No, my very first like hour set that I went around and toured with, I was like, I can't. I mean, it was poop heavy.
No. It was a very poop heavy hour.
I only want to talk about it with someone if like we, like Jess and I have talked about this before, if we experience the same like medical related issues, like,
sure.
Wow, I'm really constipated, and having someone else to like bond over that and yes. be like, well, this helps me. I'm down with that. But doing yeah. this whole thing about like, and making like, I just can't.
My friends, I have to tell you, my sister is now dating this guy, and there is an app, I forget the name of the app, that you download that you have, it's almost like Find My Friends or whatever, or what's the app where you see where all, like, you're alerted when your friends yeah. relocate, except for pooping. So as soon as you poop, you alert and it sends a message out to the people that
oh,
you
that is
just
not
pooped.
Where I thought you were going. I and did not like, think that that's where that was ending.
And it's like where you were, what it was
so
like.
It's like a joke app. You're like, I was at the Target bathroom.
Yes.
And like,
and my sister and her boyfriend keep track of each other's poop.
And they just probably think it's the funniest thing in the world.
And they love,
they
it.
Love
and,
it.
And like in it, but it's not even like the thing that's so weird about it is I've never even seen them like they don't laugh when they talk about it. They both are
they
just
it.
Like they love having that like sharing that together. They both have like the craziest digestive system ever. And they both poop like 100 times a day and they've bonded over this. And so they're always letting each other know when they're pooping. And I'm like, that is the grossest, like to alert my partner that I just pooped is like top three grossest things I can think of.
I'm getting nauseous.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm like, what I don't want to picture before I go home and, oh, you know, God, hopefully make love to my husband is him sending me a notification.
Like, we have to like steer away from the topic. I'm literally getting nauseous. I hate it so much.
It's disgusting.
What I thought you were going to say was yeah, there is an app I know where you can find like public restrooms. That's where I thought that was much more
that
innocent.
I like. I appreciate that. If you gotta go, you gotta go. You know, no, this is the letting, you know, the world know that you have just used the restroom and
yeah. That I don't have a need for.
It's, I bet there's even like a photo so option.
Oh, I'm sure there is. She's been like, let me show you the app. And I'm like, keep it away from me, girl.
Yeah, I don't even need to know the name.
I want nothing. I don't want
to
see it.
I need to know the name.
I want nothing to do with it.
What is it called?
I don't know. But all I know is I now know the notification ding on her phone.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, no, now I know when he pooped.
Yeah. You've just been like unwittingly roped in to knowing.
Exactly.
When her partner shits.
I'm like, great, thanks.
That's unreal. Yeah.
Okay. No.
Well, Jess compiled a little listy here.
We got a little listy because
we got a bunch of submissions.
Because listen, broads, if you haven't listened to Matt's podcast, Unhappy Hour, there is a lot of discussion about just things, especially popular things that people typically like that then you don't like or you have a problem with. So mm-hmm. We thought, you know, we would take you, our like king of the complaints, our sommelier, and we would dive in. Now a lot of these are just, it's not even necessarily, you know, popular things that normally people like that then these people have a problem with. It's just, these are my complaints.
By the way, it's called Poop Map. I had to look it up.
Okay.
That's so unoriginal.
Not even a pun. It's
not
just,
even a pun.
It has 57,000 reviews. 5 stars. Doesn't that make you feel hopeless for humanity?
Yeah, there's like a shit billionaire out there somewhere sitting on top of his little empire.
Sitting on top of his throne, his porcelain throne.
Yeah.
Wow, that's very good. Okay. Someone sent this one in. I find this to be a great one to chat about. Something that they hate: self checkout at the grocery store.
I hate it too. It's not time efficient at all.
No, see, what I don't like about it is that I like the concept of it, but mm-hmm. it never works.
No, you always have to wait for a fucking employee to come over.
Yeah, every time. There's no, and also I don't know about where you both are, but like in New York, we've mostly gotten rid of all like bags.
Yes.
But those machines aren't built for not having bags. They still expect you to like bow down. You have to, you know, present each item to it like you're presenting a sacrifice. And if you don't, it freaks out. And I'm like, no, I brought my own bag. I don't need to put it in the bagging area.
Yeah. I'm like, have someone keep a sharp eye out like that I'm not stealing anything. And if you have that big of a problem about people stealing, then don't have self-checkout at your store.
No, but that's the odd thing, actually. It's like it's the opposite. It's like if you don't put it on the scale, then it says that it can't track the thing that you just scanned. It's not the opposite, you know, because like the opposite would be if you put something in the bag area that you haven't paid for, then you would be stealing. It freaks out if you've scanned it and then you don't put it in the bag
area.
That's
true. Then what? It's just being a bitch.
Yes, the only thing that self-checkout is good for is stealing. Let's be real.
I guess so. Yeah, I didn't think about that. Makes sense, though, because yeah, I guess if you scan one item, then you have to put it down there to like, so it weighs it to make sure you're not like, okay, here's, I bought one toothpick, but actually it's like 7 gallons of milk.
Right. Oh, right. I see what you're saying.
So if you're trying to steal, moral of the story at self-checkout is it has to be very light things, like maybe a gift card or something like that as you put it in.
Yeah. Similarly weighted items.
Yes.
The scale has to balance out.
I mean, it's extremely easy to steal at self-checkout.
It really is.
All you do is just pretend to scan it and then you pretend to load it into your bag. You go, guys. Hack.
Life hack. Stealing. who would have thought?
And then the thing is with the self-checkout too is that then if anyone's like, oh, like, are you stealing this? You'd be like, oh, I forgot to scan it. And what's anyone going to say?
Oh, yeah. Did it not scan?
Right. Exactly.
Just weird. Guys, oh my God, I am so sorry. This is so embarrassing.
Yeah. I honestly, like Target, I don't even think they care. They're like, just take it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, any corporation that has the money to have self-checkout, steal your fucking box of Cheez-Its, you know? Who's suffering?
I used to really love a self-checkout because I always wanted to be a grocery cashier when I was growing up. You know, I love the beeping and I like the movement. Now, what really is always frustrating me about the self-checkout is there, you can't be swift about it.
No,
there's no swiftness. So then I get more irritated because it's not fucking scanning. And then by the time it scans, then the, hey, it needs to be weighted, isn't, it comes up too quickly. And then I get the call and then, you know, it's just bullshit. Okay, broads, one more quick pause. Here's something I can complain about. I suffer from massive FOMO, okay? I feel this the most during summer because of those summertime day parties. I see other people having a nice afternoon cocktail, and I want a nice afternoon cocktail. But here's the problem. A lot of afternoon cocktails leave me feeling sleepy or dealing with a sugar hangover the next day, which are the worst. But now I don't have that problem because I was introduced to Juneshine, and I have to tell you, a more perfect daytime drink has never existed.
Oh my gosh, seriously. I love Juneshine. It's one of the only alcoholic beverages I drink anymore. Say goodbye to sugar hangovers. Say goodbye to that too full feeling you get after a beer or two. Say hello to Juneshine Hard Kombucha. It is so light and refreshing. It's easy to drink, and it gives you a nice, bright buzz. And if you've been to any grocery store, you've probably noticed there's a lot of hard kombuchas on the shelf, but Juneshine is different. Here's why. They're super transparent about their ingredients, so they use only the best ingredients like green tea and honey instead of black tea and sugar, so it makes it smoother and less acidic.
And Juneshine is made with real functional ingredients. It's low in sugar, easy on the gut, gluten-free, and full of probiotics. I like to drink a Juneshine on a nice summer afternoon, but really, it's the perfect anytime drink. And the flavors, oh, the flavors, broads. I can't pick just one. They are all too good.
We've worked out an exclusive deal for Chatty Broads listeners. We got you guys. Receive 20% off plus free shipping site-wide. We recommend trying one of the best-selling variety packs. It's a great way to try all the delicious flavors, and pretty much every flavor is delicious. Go to juneshine.com/chatty or use code chatty at checkout to claim this deal. That's juneshine.com/chatty. Juneshine can also be found in over 10,000 stores across the country, including Whole Foods, Safeway, Kroger, and Publix.
Okay, it's not talked about enough, but tampons kind of suck. Okay, for me, they always did anyway. I remember the first time I used one, I was kind of shocked that was pretty much the only non-visible option for period care available at the time. Thankfully, FlexFit is out here doing the work, making massive improvements to period care with a whole new line of products that, shocker, are comfortable, body safe, safe for the planet, and actually work the way we need them to.
FlexFit, they've got two really great products that are changing the game. I've always been obsessed with the Flex Cup. It's a zero waste option, but it's different from other menstrual cups on the market because it's got a patented pull tab, so you can remove it just like a tampon, which makes it easier to use because I know the first time you use a menstrual cup, it can be a little intimidating. It can be a tough learning curve, but Flex Cup was specifically designed with beginners in mind. Broads, don't waste any more time using products like tampons or pads. There are far more sustainable and honestly way more user-friendly options on the market. Check out FlexFit. I cannot preach this enough, guys. Do it.
I do love the Flex Cup, but also what I really love is the Flex Disc. It is unlike any period product I've ever used before. It's basically like a bendable ring, and inside the ring is plastic material. Long story short, it collects versus absorbs. And if that doesn't get you, maybe this will. It's the only product in existence that lets you have 100% mess-free period sex. Can confirm this works, and it works well. I love it. Mwah.
Say goodbye to cramps, put sex back on the table, and lend Mother Nature a hand. Go to flexfits.com/chatty and use code chatty for 20% off Flex Disc starter kits, or you get 10% off your first Flex Cup plus free US shipping. That's code chatty at flexfits.com. F L E X FITS.com/chatty.
Now, can I ask you guys real quick? We won't even delve into now our adult lives, but as teenagers, did either of you shoplift? Tell the truth.
No, I was too pure.
Yeah, I didn't shoplift either.
Guilty conscience is too
Yeah.
It's too present. Mm-hmm. I was raised Catholic, so it was like, you know, if you even think about it, Jesus will know.
Yeah, I never stole.
I'm the same way. There was one time when I was 3 years old that I was in a store and I guess I took out like a pack of gum. I didn't even realize the concept of stealing. And my mom then made me go in to the woman who was running the store, apologize and give it back to her. And that humiliated me so much that I never even considered it. Now, I remember then becoming an adult. And when you find out that you have a friend who's a big old thief, that's a weird moment where I'm like, you have balls to walk into a store and just steal shit.
Yeah, some people, almost all my boyfriends were thieves, like almost all of them. Like my high school boyfriend, him and our other friends, what they would do is they would get the foam coolers like at the store.
Yeah.
And they would just load them up with like beer, and this is in high school, they would load them with like beer, rotisserie chickens and shit, and then just walk out the door holding the cooler. And would just
beer
leave.
And rotisserie chickens.
Like for a party, they would just get chips. They would load up everything they wanted to have for dinner.
God love those rotisserie chickens.
And then
chickens.
They would just walk out with it. And that was just mind blowing to me. Absolutely mind blowing. And then I had other boyfriends too who would go to Walmart to get a pack of underwear and would just stick it like under their shirt and just would walk out. And I'm like,
walk through the like detectors, even when I paid for everything, I'm like, they're going to know.
Do you ever think I have when I'll go through those, I'll have this panic moment of what if I by accident stole something? Like I'm always panicking. Like I truly believe that I accidentally stole something every time I go through. If it beeps, full paranoia. I get so nervous walking out of Target when I've just paid for everything to be like, here's my receipt.
I get scared at Costco,
here's my
too.
Receipt.
You know, at Costco when they check your receipt.
So now, the idea of actual thievery, I will never forget the day that a girl who I was like getting really close to, we go to like this little shop and I make some comment that I was like, oh my God, that's like, those
she's like, I'll get it for you.
Well, I was like, those are cute coasters. And I just keep walking and we walk out of the store and we're heading like to the next winery or wherever we were. And she's like, I got you a present. And she pulls out the coasters and I'm like, you bought those for me? And she's like, no, I just snagged them for you. And I was like, devil woman.
Now, I have a couple. Oh, the first time I ever stole anything was actually on The Bachelor. And I'll tell you why. We were at the airport in France. Sketchy, actually, to be at an international airport. We were at the airport in France. We were at the bookstore. I was browsing around with my producer, and how it would work is like sometimes the producers would pay for stuff like, you know, like a magazine for you, whatever. And they could put it on like the card. Their mm-hmm. company card. And we didn't really travel with any of our cards or like any of that stuff. And they would buy us like meals and stuff like that. So I didn't have my credit cards and I really wanted a book. And I asked my producer, like, can you buy it for me? And he was like, no, sorry. And I was like, really? Like ABC's not gonna buy me this book? And he was just like, no. And I was in that moment, I was just like, I was so, you know what it was? I was like a child and like the producers were my parents and I was just like, I want this book. And I didn't have my credit card with me. And so I was like, you know what? I'll just carry the book around the store and just kind of like, you know, look around and then I'll walk out and just pretend like I didn't realize the book was still in my hand. And so I did that. And I took
the book.
Oh my
God, you did it. And you didn't get caught.
No.
What was the book?
Yeah, for real.
It was a Ian McEwan novel called... can't remember what it was called, but it was about this. It was a good book. I really enjoyed it. It was about this unborn baby. And it was the whole movie. The whole book was from the perspective of the unborn baby whose mother is cheating on the father with the father's brother. And then she ends up killing the father with it was a crazy book, but I loved it.
And you got it.
And I got it.
But he has enough money. It's fine.
Yeah, he's okay. Sure he appreciates the fact that you enjoyed his art while you were abroad on a reality TV
Plus,
show.
Plus, the bookstore at the airport already bought the book from him, so he's not actually losing out.
Oh, that's true. It's just it's the airport. Fuck and they're fine. Sure.
Fuck them.
I don't know if that's quite how publishing works, but I will all
Is it not? Don't they bring... Wouldn't the bookstore buy them wholesale from the publisher? Like, it's not like they're... It's not like the person won't get paid until the bookstore sells the book, right?
I think you stole from him.
Maybe.
Right?
Like, I don't know, actually.
Generally, like
as
how...
As someone who has written a book, I have no idea. I just assume, yeah, if someone buys my book, I still make money, but I don't think that's actually true.
No, I think Target would buy a certain number of copies from the publisher. And then Target tries to make their profit by selling that book at a higher price than they bought the book.
You know, I'll believe it.
Yeah.
You're like, I didn't go to business school.
You're like, the check comes in and that's all I need to know.
Moving right along.
Okay, next one. Now this is this is a brutal one. Okay. When people tip $1.
Is it a $10 purchase? Or an $8 purchase?
I'm assuming
an
that...
An $8 purchase, I mean?
I think regardless... If I'm
speechless.
Yeah, if I'm like in any form of like service industry and you tip $1, even if it's like a $10 thing, there's something about $1 that is like such
slap
a
in the face.
Fuck you. I'd rather you just not put a tip. Like, I'd rather you fucking not put a tip.
Well, I think
I
think the only reason I would do $1 is if I was like checking out at one of those pads, you know, and it's like $8, 15% is a dollar. I can't do the math. You know what I'm saying? And then you click that.
If it's already set up, if you got the pad thing and it's already set up, okay. Or like if you're, you know, grabbing a coffee and there's like the jar and I'm like, I'm going to throw in like, you know, okay. But like
$1. Yeah.
If you're sitting down somewhere and you order yourself a nice little, you know, like a latte, just... And even if it's like and they hand you the check and it's $5, there's something about putting $1.
Right. There is. Yeah. I would say at like a bar, if I have cash and I'm paying in cash, I'll leave like $1 per drink.
Sure. When you're tipping the bartender. Sure.
But yeah, I would never write in $1. Even like, you know, I'm a queen of ordering food. Mm-hmm. I've seamless three meals a day.
Yes.
Before. Plenty of times.
I respect but that.
Even if it's under that, like the minimum is always $5, at least $5.
Yes. Well, yeah, let's be real. Are you ever ordering delivery food that's under $16? I mean, come on.
Sometimes I'm like, okay, we're going to be economical today and only spend $50 total throughout the meal, the spread of meals.
Sometimes I just don't want to leave my house and I got to Instacart a Gatorade.
I only have an $1,800 budget for my delivery meals this month. So I've got to stay within, you know?
Yeah. I've literally looked up, like, can I use my credit card points to get like a seamless gift card? Because that is my ideal, is getting like free seamless delivery.
Oh, yes.
You can't. You can't. I checked.
Mm. I mean, it's really kind of crazy. If you do spend $50 a day on food delivery, you're spending you're spending rent. Well, in an inexpensive place. You're spending $1,500 a month.
But delicious rent.
Yeah.
Can you believe how lazy we've gotten that we won't just like drive 5 minutes to go pick up takeout?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I've never.
That is who I am.
Did you Uber Eats this? Did you DoorDash this? Ungodly.
I forgot that picking up takeout was an option.
It's very true. I've just been like, I'm in my little like oyster. I'm in my shell and I don't want to leave.
Well, I do it because it's faster. That's the only reason that when I do take out, I'm like, this place is literally down the street. It's going to take me 50 minutes to get delivered, or it's going to take 20 minutes if I pick it up. That's usually the only reason I do it. But otherwise, I'm quite lazy myself.
Like, it's just sometimes like parking. And I'm just like, you know.
Yeah, but if you're picking up food, you just hit
Whenever I'm in LA, though, I'll Uber Eats something and it takes like 2 hours.
That's exactly my point.
It takes forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to really, honestly, it takes a lot of organization to get your food on time.
Just as like I have my schedule. I wake up in the morning, I order breakfast for 9:30 at 6:30 in the morning.
Honestly, it's really not far from the truth. It's very organized.
It actually reminds me,
system.
I'm like, I probably, if I want to eat in between our next podcast, you know, I probably got to order some shit.
I'm always just like, yeah, I'm not even hungry anymore by the time it gets there.
Mm. Yeah. You're like, I've already eaten what is left in my pantry.
You've already had two string cheese. And yes, like a, exactly. You know, a banana. Right. And
so the $1 tip, though, it's just rude. It's just kind of like, hey, you know,
I mean, tip your 15% at least. I think if you do have like a $5 order, sure, it's kind of like, I think it's acceptable. You know, if you have a order and it's 15% comes out to a dollar, then.
Understandable, right. But like, just make sure that like, you know, you're at least tipping. Now, another complaint
that we
got. Do
you know what me and my friend used to do when we were little shithead 12-year-olds? I remember we would like save up our money and go eat at like P.F. Chang's. And, you know, the karma really got us because then we were waitresses when we grew up. Or I was a host and she was a waitress at the same restaurant. We would get all of our change when we paid cash. And we would just leave a pile of change and would giggle and go, and
oh,
leave.
No.
Oh no. Yeah. But at least they got you back.
We got the karma.
Yeah.
For people who would stiff us or like just straight up walk out without paying and then the waiter would have to pay for their meal. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Right,
so
right.
Fucked. So fucked.
Okay. Someone says something that bothers them. This is a common thing. I'm interested in your takes. Grammatical errors.
Oh my God. Shut the fuck up about the grammar already. Shut the fuck up about the grammar. You know how over I am with someone when they're arguing in the comments? It's the wrong your. Shut the fuck up. Just shut up. If that's your best comeback is analyzing someone's grammar, then you probably don't have anything important to say back to their response. Like, I hate it. I also think it is classist, and it can also be like if someone's parents are from another country and they weren't raised with English speaking parents, they might have poor grammar. They might not have the same advantage that you did of having English speaking parents. They might have been in a bad school. They might have had a learning disability. Shut the fuck up with the grammatical correction. That's what all I have
wow.
to say on that.
Wow.
I'll snap to that. Whenever someone is like, yeah, you're with a little asterisk, and that is like their sole reply to something, and then they're like, gotcha.
You're just like, you.
I'm like, well, yeah, you wow. lost. You did lose. But I think the only context where I'm like, you, it's like when I'm like on like a business email or like a work email where I'm like, if there's someone I'm working with and I'm like, okay, you. Let's just double check our sentence before,
yes.
Especially if it's like one sentence where I'm like, come on.
I should clarify. I'm talking specifically about informal formats, like on the internet. I agree with you there.
Texts.
Even like a dating app profile. It's like, if you know you're bad at grammar, like, or spelling, why don't you have someone proofread?
I'm busy.
You know? Or like, yeah, an email. It's like.
Yeah, I think I have like maybe like a one strike policy on a dating app. Like if you make one mistake, okay, everyone makes mistakes. Sure. But then if it's like repeat offenses, I start getting a little leery.
Yeah.
Also, like sometimes when people text, sometimes it's people texting too fast and then they're just not correcting anything. That really gets on my nerves. I'm like, sometimes I can barely unscramble the goddamn sentence to know what this person is trying to tell me over text.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes, God bless my mother, I have no idea what anything she's texting
me. Same with Kristen's mom. I'm like, I couldn't tell you what this means.
I have no idea. So like now I have to call you. Like I would prefer you like maybe just pause for 2 seconds. Actually, you know what it probably is? It's like, Sylvia, you got to get off the voice texting
Siri.
That's
what I was going to say. Yeah, people do like the speech to text thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, Siri's got no goddamn idea what they're trying to say ever.
No. and my mom, and the speed in which my mom assumes that Siri can scribe, like, I mean, it's unbelievable.
She's like, and send.
No, it's literally just like, it's so quickly that she is like, poor Siri cannot keep up. And then she sends it and it's halfway through. And I'm like, I just don't even understand. But I'm the same way. The grammar thing, like, you know, I'm always... Two things. Number one, I'm always fucking up my, like, when I'm typing something, I always make mistakes. I always miss a word. Even if I reread it, like, numerous times, I know I'll miss something. Two, I pronounce things incorrectly all the time. It's just part of my charm.
The malaprops.
Yeah. And so I'm like, I appreciate someone letting me know, like, it's actually pronounced this way. I'm like, thank you. I'm going to try to say it correctly. But when someone is like so angry about it, I'm like, calm down, dude. Like, yeah. Does it really bother you that much that I like mispronounce something? Now, I get if I'm saying it over and over and over and over and over
anyways.
Again.
Right.
I always say anyways.
But I've gotten
over
it.
You get a couple strikes and then, you know, then we'll talk.
I will always say anyways.
Matt, do you say anyways or anyway?
I probably say both. Mm.
I always say anyways. The second it comes out of my mouth, I realize that it's anyway, but I choose not to correct myself.
I do think I'll probably say anyways if I'm like, you know,
anyways.
Trying to. Right.
Yeah.
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 Right.
If I'm anyways. Trying to be a dick, yeah, I'll say that. But otherwise, I think I use anyway.
I didn't even know it was.
Anyway, we got to break down some of these phrases sometimes and say, what are we saying? Anyway, right? That's what we're saying. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway.
Oh, someone actually had one of the things that drives them crazy is when people say, I could care less.
Oh, that does bug me.
Instead of I couldn't care less.
That does bug me.
I feel
that's one of those things. I feel like we've just kind of collectively decided we're gonna assume they're the same thing. Yeah. You know what we mean.
So the way you feel about the grammar is the way that I feel about that type of shit where I'm like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, yeah. I do know what someone means. And I won't go out of my way to correct someone and just be like, I couldn't care less.
No, you don't
but
ever
in
say
in my
anything.
Head, I do go like, I do twitch a little bit where I'm like, that doesn't make sense. That means that you...
Something in the brain, it fires off that, like, we're in danger. But yeah.
My fight or flight kicks in a little bit and I'm like, Yeah.
I had to literally look at that statement and break it down and be like, I could care less.
Yes, that means
I couldn't care less.
That means I could care less. Like, actually, I could care even less than I care right now. So that means that I do care a little bit.
Yeah.
And I always do care a little bit, even if I say I don't care. So
technically what I'm saying is correct.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't dissected that phrase this much in a while.
It's bothering the people out here. It is bothering the people.
I guess so, yeah.
Let's do a couple more quick fire before we let you go, Matt.
Sure.
So, interesting. People dropping into my conversations. How
What's
do you
the context? You know,
how often is this happening to this
right.
person?
I'm gonna create the scenario here, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because context matters. You know,
a group of friends
now,
hanging out.
I already
out.
Know like what kind of scenario.
And I'm having a conversation with you know Becca, and all of a sudden another person we know comes in and like immediately just kind of inserts themselves into the conversation.
Oh, someone we know?
Let's start. Someone we know. Sure. Does that bug you?
You know what? The only reason it bugs me is if I don't like the person who's coming into the conversation, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's sort of like, you know, merging into traffic. Yeah. Like if you're going to come in, you can't come in and slow down. Okay. You got to join the flow of traffic. So if you can join the conversation, if it then continues to flow, but if your entrance right. then like kind of interrupts shit. That's where I have a problem.
That is a very good point.
Excellent point.
Excellent point.
I will say I feel the same way about strangers, though. It's like if the stranger is dashingly good looking and, you know, and it is an excellent conversationist, then sure, by all means, join. If you're going to be some dude coming in with some clunky, like, yeah, I always hate that. It's like,
yeah,
who are you and why are you joining? Leave. If you know, it's context.
If you don't know the person, like let's just say you're at a bar and you're having a drink with a friend and then someone inserts themselves into the conversation, in that situation, I'm like, you better be the most charming
human
being.
You better be Hugh fucking Grant.
Yeah, you better come in with your British accent and charm the pants off of me and buy us around if I'm not going to be a little thrown off by you just inserting yourself into the conversation.
It's very ballsy.
It is very ballsy. So you have to be able to back it up.
I think it's just hard for me to wrap my head around because I would never do that. Or at least I mean, my assumption at all times is like nobody wants me in this conversation. So whenever I like go to interrupt, if I do, I'm like, okay, I need an exit strategy before I've even said hello.
Now, here's the thing. Actually, Jess, you would do it and I would do it too. There is a very specific way to do it, where you're not actually inserting yourself, but you are throwing your comment into someone else's conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
For example, when you're at the bar and two people are complaining about how they've been waiting here for 15 minutes and you comment and you're like, it's always like this. It's the most annoying. And then you're not inserting yourself, but you're casually, you are dropping in.
Very
but
true.
But you're also leaving no pressure. They don't have to continue to engage with you. You're just dropping in a comment.
But to that point, that was so charming. I got goosebumps. You know, do a little bit of that side look. You go, and you're just it's like, always like that. And then you walk away and everyone's like, who was that?
Well, maybe you're still sitting there. And then you know, there's no pressure. They can respond back and be like, oh my God, like how often do you come here? Or like, you know, whatever. Or they can just be like, right. And then they can go back to their conversation and you can go back to waiting and everything is smooth.
You have to maintain a distance. You have to have your body angled a little away from them.
Yes.
Because if you go full frontal on them and kind of are in their presence
you're
and
leaning
you're
against
like,
the bar
and you're like, it's always like this. And then you just stay there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's a no-go.
I'm trying to think of other scenarios too, because there are some times where someone will come up and like make some comment, and then there is I'm just like, oh, okay, so you're just kind of here now.
Am I supposed to entertain
there's
you?
There's no kind of out.
Like, oh, so I guess we're dating
sometimes.
Now.
I need a timer. Once the timer goes off, it's like, okay, I'm out.
Oh, there was a time when I was at a bar with some friends. We were having like a really great conversation. And all of a sudden, this man comes up and he is a wandering magician.
Already out. I'm already out.
I was watching him and he is just, you know, freelance magicking around the streets of Los Angeles. And so he comes up
pray
to
for
us
this man.
And I cannot, I don't know how to be rude to him and be like,
my
you
guy,
need, you
we
need
don't
to
want
stop.
Magic. We like, don't want your magic.
I'm like, I don't want to be rude and not acknowledge you as a human. But I know if I make eye contact with you, you're going to be like, pick a card.
That's the worst. I'm not good at that.
But I couldn't shut it down. I could not shut him down. And he stayed in our vicinity, and this is not an exaggeration, 37 minutes. My friend put his timer on. Well, I guess it's probably more than 37 minutes because he started timing him after he had been there for a few minutes. And he's like, how long is this guy going to be here? And he literally put his timer on. I'll post the video because I'm filming my friend, like just like sitting just like this. And he's just wants to die. And this guy in the background wearing like a sparkly bow tie with his magic. That was an inserting of conversation. That was not okay.
Yeah, that's why I need like my own personal bouncer at all times to be like, no, you're out. This is we've had enough. I need like the ear tug signal that I can give that.
Yeah, you know. Just they gotta go.
But you're right. It's like, yeah. and I always gauge it. I'm like, oh, I can endure 30 minutes of this person if it means I don't have to break their fucking heart. Like their heart's been broken all goddamn night.
That's my thing. I'm like, oh God, like everyone's probably been so rude and he's just trying to really work on his craft. And I have to appreciate that. But I have a babysitter and I only have a limited amount of time. And I'm like,
I just paid you 14 hours to waste my $14 to waste my time while the babysitter's at my house.
Yeah, that one is hard because you don't want to talk to them, but you also don't want to be like, every choice you've made that led to this has been a mistake.
Maybe just
your life is a lie.
Magic isn't real. So.
Yeah, you could just say that to them and you'd be like, I don't believe in magic.
No, right. No.
Then he'll be like, I'll prove it to you.
Yeah, I was going to say, a magician, that's just a challenge. I think maybe the best way you have to approach it is if someone comes up.
You know what you do? You're like, you go, I'm a magician too.
Oh.
Right.
Pick a card.
And then they're like, oh, I don't like this. Maybe I should reconsider. Maybe I should reconsider. Okay. Being in the car with an overly cautious driver.
Oh.
Thoughts, feelings.
As in like the passenger is like backseat driving sort of and making you be more cautious, or they are overly cautious?
I think they are overly cautious.
The driver is cautious.
Yeah. If it's with like a friend, I don't mind. If I'm in like a taxi or an Uber, I'm like, I want to fear for my life. We're not going fast enough.
Yes.
Unless we're in danger.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, that is kind of whenever I'm in an Uber and a taxi and they like stop at a yellow light, I'm like, okay, well, this is like, a problem. You you should have sped up.
One star.
$1 tip.
No, it's like, yeah, or what really does bug me if it's an Uber or someone I'm with, like if they're turning like onto it or like they're merging into traffic and there's like definitely multiple ins and they're not taking the opportunity, like that will kind of piss me off. I'm just like, go.
Although it can backfire because the last time I was in LA, which at this point is like 2 years ago because I haven't been on a plane, but I was in an Uber. The Uber driver, it was like, you know, rush hour traffic. We were coming back from the Forum. So it was like, you know, a long drive.
Yes.
And he merged and kind of cut someone off. But like when you're merging in rush hour, you're going to cut someone off.
Sure.
Of course.
The car behind us got so mad. They pulled up behind us. We both stopped because it was like traffic. The driver got out of his car and slashed our tires. And I watched, like, the minute that man got out of his car, I was like,
we're
this
dead.
Is it. Either I'm going to end up on World Star or I'm going to be dead. And
oh my God.
It was scary.
That is horrifying. That's horrifying.
Did you guys get video of it? Like, did you get his license plate? Like, what the?
No, I think both me and the driver were like, okay, sorry, we have to die together. Like, we were both so shocked that, I mean, because when the man got out of his car, I was like, oh, shit, he's going to come, like, and pull this driver out of his seat.
Oh, my God.
And, no, he just slashed our tires. And then my driver pulled over and was like, sorry, you have to get out. Which I guess is fair. But I still, it was, like, so wild to me. So I do understand the urge to be cautious.
Yes, it can be important. I will say as someone who tends to be a little car sick kid, when you have an overly cautious driver who is like
on the brakes constantly,
I am like, I'm about to puke 30 seconds into the drive. And so that I'm like, I feel less ill when someone's like speeding around and being a little bit loose,
jerky
than the just pumping the brakes constantly. Like, I'm just like, So
yeah, my dad also is starting to get that, like, I don't know what happens to men. Like, the older you age, it's like old man syndrome where suddenly I'm like, why are we going 15 miles under the speed limit? There's no reason we should be going this slow.
He's like, everything's speeding by around us. I gotta make it slow down. Time is an illusion.
It is so true. What is that? Why is it when you get older, you slow down in the car?
My dad's just getting more and more reckless.
Oh, really?
No, but my dad's always been a bit of a, like, speed demon car guy. Uh-huh. Like, when he was convinced that he could drive in the UK, like, you know, on the other side of the road, you know, he was just like, I got this. Let's do it. And it was so scary. Beast. It was so scary.
That's a whole different world. That is a whole different world.
Anyway.
Well,
give us one last quick one and then we'll wrap up.
Let me give you one last one. Okay. People who talk/use their phones in movie theaters. Let's focus on talking in movie theaters. I feel like in general, most people don't love that. But what about people who are using phones in movie theaters?
Oh, fuck no. Fuck you. I don't want to see your glow. Like, in right. the, no. No.
I don't. Yeah, I really don't get it. You have the second the movie begins, you are on high alert. You get no, there's no strike policy on this one.
Agree.
Yeah. It's like, what? I don't know. You're holding a fucking flashlight in your hand that is fully illuminating your entire face and body. You're not like, every time someone tries to be kind of like, you know, sly about it, it's like, no, we can all see you. We're in the dark.
Now, it's just like, just walk out.
The only time I will do it is like, I'll like put it under my shirt real quick to check to see if the babysitter has texted. Whatever.
Yeah.
Like, but I'm not on it.
No, but you're not sitting there like writing a novel or like scrolling through Instagram.
How dare you?
Yeah, no. I mean, God forbid the few people who will sometimes take a call in the movie theater.
That's unreal. And that's unreal.
Like, and you're like, are you the only person who exists in this world?
That's unreal.
That's wild.
A boldness that I will never have.
I kind of wish I had a little more of that in me, to be honest. But I will. Okay, I have one exception to the rule with phones in movie theaters, and it's just my exception because I do it.
So, oh no!
If I am at a matinee movie, kids movie with my daughter, I will then have my phone when That's there's like fine. A couple people in the thing. I have my phone. I'll have my light fully off. But I'm sitting in a cartoon that she's watching and I'll like answer some emails and stuff in the thing. And I'm like, there's like two parents there and we're all just trying to keep our kids entertained.
I mean,
I'll have my phone on. I feel like I'm not bugging.
If you're there watching Trolls 3 or whatever.
I'm just like, I'm not bugging. This 4-year-old doesn't care if my phone's on.
No,
they're stimulated by. No, I wouldn't take a call.
Absolutely not.
No, absolutely not. I can
get behind that. Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to use some time to, you know, to get some work done in this situation.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Also, if you're going to be someone who, if you know you're on your phone, just sit in one of the back rows. I feel like then that's more acceptable too.
Yeah.
What are your guys' thoughts then? Okay, final. Making out in movie theaters. People who are like.
Sit in the back row.
Okay.
Look, do what you want if you want to do it in the back row. If it's not bothering me, if you're not directly behind me and I can hear your lips fucking smacking.
Yeah,
whatever.
That is where I draw the line. If you're like silent about it somehow, then I'm okay with it. But if I can hear the like slurping, then
or like
we're going to have a problem.
The breathing, I'm just like, really?
Yeah, it's the sound. I feel the same way. I'd rather someone be discreetly giving someone a handy because I don't have to hear it next to me than the sound of them kissing. That just feels way more intense.
No, and I definitely don't want to see them. Like, I don't want to see their shadows. Like, that's going to really bug me.
That's distracting.
Sit in the background.
I blame the, like, movie theater seats are getting too comfortable. Mm-hmm. And so everyone's like, okay, we can just kind of ball out. We can relax, kick our shoes off.
Literally kick your shoes off.
Yeah. And it's like, well, you're still fully in public. So maybe rein it in.
No, I do that. How do you guys feel about that? I probably wouldn't do it. And I definitely wouldn't do it if anyone was in the front row. Definitely not like in front of me. But I definitely have like literally taken my shoes off and put my feet up on the chair in front of me. What do you guys think about that?
With your bare feet?
Like my foot won't be on it, but like my feet. Like, it'll be like my ankle will be resting, my bare ankle will be resting on the top of the front chair. Do you know what I'm saying? Yep, I would do that.
Yeah.
I am recoiling. Yeah. I don't know if I can endorse that.
If I'm spotting like a bare foot like lifted, it's going to distract me.
Yeah.
Even if it's very clean, it's more like this foot is just kind of, if you have your foot up and you have a shoe on, I don't care. But the bare foot feels.
Yeah. At least like a sock or something.
I think a sock is. I don't know. I feel like my scenario would be flip flops. You're wearing flip flops, and then you like, I'm not gonna put my flip flops up on the seat in front of me. I'm not gonna undo my sneakers and then take off my socks and then put my feet up. Like that's psycho Becca shit. That's crazy.
Becca has thigh high boots, and she's just taking the fishnets
off. That is crazy. But
there's just something about even. I feel like there is a bravery in that. You're exposing your bare foot to like the atmosphere of a movie theater. I feel about eating in the bathroom where I'm like, even if I'm like, if I have a granola bar or something, I have to finish it before I enter the bathroom.
Yeah, just I do like, feel that.
The air in the bathroom is tainted, and that's how I feel about a movie theater.
Okay, my very last question that is related. Do you guys take your shoes or socks off on the plane, like on a long plane ride?
If I have socks on, then I might like slip out of the shoe while I'm sitting down. I'll never stand up and walk to the bathroom. Oh no,
that's crazy. That's crazy.
Some
that's
people
crazy
will fully yeah, walk I'm barefoot.
Like, oh my god! This is not your living room, my guy.
And I definitely won't put my feet up on anything if my shoes are off.
Yeah. I'm not going to take my shoes off in the airplane unless I'm with the people I'm sitting next to. If I'm with you, my shoes are off, my socks are off. Oh, I've got it all out. I don't care if like,
because your feet get swollen, right? Like my feet get swollen as fuck. That's why I take my socks and shoes off.
I wear compression socks a lot of times on planes.
Oh, that's smart.
like a grandma.
One exception is if. And this is only a few times. If I get upgraded to first class or someone else is paying, all bets are off in first class.
Oh, when the money
you're a fucking animal.
If the seat goes all the way down, I am like an animal.
You're like unfolding like pajamas from your backpack. You're just
right.
Like.
Yeah. I never feel more like the floating people in Wall-E, you know, like the future people who are like literally in their own personal pod. They just have everything delivered immediately to their face.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That is how I feel whenever I'm in first class. I'm like, just.
Especially if it's one of those first class that looks like those eggs where you have your own pod.
Oh, yeah.
I walk by those and I'm just like, oh,
which I feel like those are on like 18 hour flights, which granted, I will give someone more of a pass, even though I wouldn't do it like walking around barefoot. At that point, it's like, this is your living room. You guys are spending the night in this fucking.
We're all in this bitch together. We're doing this thing.
Bullet in the sky for 20 hours.
I've never been on a plane where you get to like change into pajamas. I've seen those where they offer the pajama change.
My grandma,
I'm like, no, I don't want this weird like airplane issued pajama suit.
Lufthansa always does that.
Wow.
Like
fancy.
that was my grandparents from Switzerland. They would always, that was like the big thing they'd spend money on is they'd get first class when they would go back home to Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
And I went with them one time and I remember putting my little pajamas on and it was like this and everyone was putting their PJs on and like closing their things.
I'm kind of into
like,
that. That's a vibe.
It was a vibe. I was like five and I was like, where's my martini?
The one time I went to the UK for a job and they flew me like business class and it was an overnight flight. So we did get pajamas, but I was like, I'm not putting these on. I feel ridiculous.
I refuse.
I'm not going to go into an airplane bathroom, strip down to my underwear and then put on this packaged suit.
That's the name of the plane.
Yeah.
The pocket. Matt, thank you so much for joining us.
We had
so much fun with you. Can you tell the people where they can find you? And Broads will put all this info in the episode notes so you can follow along with Matt.
Well, my podcast, Unhappy Hour, comes out every Tuesday.
So good.
And so, which I think is the same day that you both come out?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So we have a big Tuesday day.
We love it.
Listen, double feature.
As soon as you all are finished with this episode, go listen to Matt's newest episode.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. And then Matt Bellassai on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, I guess. Bell Ass AI is how I lovingly
Bell
put it.
Bell Ass AI. Love it.
And amazing. Then eventually I'm going to start doing stand-up shows and going
yeah.
around again.
Yes.
So follow to find out and stay tuned.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Matt. We so appreciate
Thank you.
Broads, hope you enjoyed our complaining and we'll chat soon.
Chat soon.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date, it notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.